Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to Circles of Change here at the top of the hour. It's a pleasure to invite an interesting gentleman from Burbank, California area, Michael Mazzotta. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Terrific. Couldn't be better. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Michael Gonzalez Mazzotta has been the proud member of the martial arts community for nearly 40 years. He began his martial arts studies in 1968, when he's just a tot, I assume, right, Michael? In a judo class at the Japanese Community Center in Sun Valley, California, followed by then interests in karate and jiu-jitsu. After seeing a brief performance of one of the masters of Chinese arts in the early 70s, Michael actually thus shifted or expanded his horizon in martial arts. And now his resume is chock full of credits in everything from magazine and book publishing related to the martial arts, instructional video, DVD productions, and also tournament and championship organizing. In 1999, he founded the Martial Arts Museum, with eventually then a traveling exhibit in 2004 that went to none other than the epicenter of these arts, back to Japan, throughout China, and then back across the United States. And here recently in 2010, he opened a new location for this martial arts museum in the city of Burbank, California. Michael is considered one of the leading authorities in the world on the history of monkey kung fu specifically, and considers himself an historian of Chinese kung fu. He's written the biographies now of over three dozen martial arts pioneers and done extensive research on the history of the arts in America. In addition to his leadership role at the museum these days, he also co-owns the Wireworks Workshop and Museum.com, and also he's planning, it seems like ever the busy guy, he's even currently planning the Asian American Festival for Los Angeles this year. So I'm amazed that we even caught you for a spare moment, as busy as you must be.
Thanks.
Well, how's the, you just had the recent essentially reopening, right, in your new location for the museum. How's that been going?
Well, we're actually going to be opening in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
We're having the preview of the museum now as we relocated it to the city of Burbank. And that's going very well. We're getting all the things in, and we're very pleased at the progress we're going.
That's great. I wanted to take us back to that introduction that I mentioned, you know, the fact that you even founded this museum, what, 12 years ago. What prompted you to take that path, Michael?
This has been a long journey, Sarah. You know, I felt it was important to look at Asian culture and history. Enjoying the martial arts all these years, I've grown closer and learned more about the arts and more about the history of where it came from and how it started and the importance of that history, and especially coming here to America. And there was no way that there was no venue, there was no anything, there's no book or nothing. Mm-hmm. That was out there that could really show America how Asian culture became part of American culture. And I thought it was important that we have something so we can pass on to the next generation. So that's the reason why I really started it. It's important that people understand the impact of Asian martial arts. And without a museum or without something of that sort, that history is going to be lost. So I thought it was very important to do that. And then being in the arts so long, I was able to know many of these great individuals before they died, these key pioneers. So it makes it more personal to me as well.
Well, I know your background, of course, is you have a degree in management as well as a degree in journalism. So I suspect, you know, the power of the pen is one that you've carried for a long time. But to turn it towards those personal stories and biographies, that must have been quite a journey for you.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. I had started writing, doing martial arts on techniques and other things for the magazines. And then when I started writing books, I started dabbling more into history. And the more I dabbled in it, the more I enjoyed it. And being in the martial arts for a long period of time, I've gotten to look at history firsthand when it came here to America. Here in America, it's not that old. You know, we're talking about the 60s. When it really made an impact. when I was young then, I saw these little things happening. And so I got to see it firsthand. So putting that on paper was very challenging, but I thought it was very important to do it as well. And that's why I wrote several books on it and now the museum as well.
Now, you know, that really prompts me to take pause. So it was only in the 60s that this form of, you know, personal body, mind, management, exercise, however you go to describe the martial arts. Was there something back then in the 60s that really provided that venue for it to come to the States from a historical perspective?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Martial arts came here around 1848, around that time period. You know, during the Gold Rush era, the art of Kung Fu came, and then the Japanese art started coming in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But it didn't get the real recognition that that it did in the later years. And it was the movies that really transformed people's look at the martial arts. Because even though judo was here and karate was here, you know, most people had no idea what it was. And it was only taught in community centers and small little places that were mostly of Asian descent. And through the movies, like Blood on the Sun in 1945, and some of the other movies started including martial arts, that's when America got a taste for the martial arts, and that's when it started to become very popular. So in the 60s is when it's really started getting more popular, and obviously the 70s and the Kung Fu movie boom of the Bruce Lee era and the Shaw Brother films.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, and I know for many of us that have, you know, children of various ages, and particularly those that pursued the martial arts as their sport, shall we say, the one thing is that it's an opportunity that that anyone of particular build, coordination can take advantage of, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, the martial arts is an excellent thing. It gives you a lot of self-confidence. I think that's very important. It helps you grow within yourself, you know. It helps your coordination, but it more helps you in a goal-oriented way. By striving to get ahead, by striving to learn more, by striving to get to the next belt level or the next form or the mm-hmm. next weapon or so on. It helps you in everyday life as well. By going to school, it strives, puts that goal orientation in you, so you're striving to be better in school, better in life. So and all around, it's a good thing to take, you know. Maybe, you know, you start learning a little tumbling, a little movement in the beginning, and that helps your coordination. And then when you go into bout levels, that helps your goal orientation. So in that whole aspect, it's a very good thing to get involved in and to dabble into and to start building your confidence with, especially for little kids. Art to learn.
Well, with your own background, I mentioned at the onset here that you've been recognized and you're one of the few masters in monkey kung fu. And what I also read whenever I encounter someone who has studied the martial arts, there's also always a reverent mention of the master from whom you learned from or the series of masters. So I would suggest that's one thing that is unique about this form of health and fitness is also the sense of family, of community, of legacy, right?
Yes, especially the art of kung fu. The art of kung fu is quite different than most arts because it's geared as a family-oriented art. Actually, the master teacher is called Sifu, which actually means father. So in a kung fu setting, it's a way of life rather than just a competition. Mm-hmm. So you're looking as growing in the arts and trying to improve yourself and to improve your brothers and sisters around you so you can both grow in the art. And that's why kung fu is more people stay in kung fu a lot longer because it's more of a family-oriented system. It's not just belt rankings. It's just learning and improving yourself. It is a way of life. Like they say, kung fu is definitely a way of life, and that's how you treat it as part of your life and as part of your soul.
Within the United States, then, if we look across the country, of course, you live in the greater Los Angeles area, which there is a strong and vibrant concentration of individuals from Asian descent, maybe not so much in other parts of the country, but does the study of kung fu and others kind of transcend that nationality hook?
Oh, yes, definitely. Kung Fu is the only common denominator between almost every single country in the world. everybody in some country, whether it's Iran or Egypt or Japan or America or Canada, has studied a martial art. There's Taekwondo sure. in every other country. There's Judo in Germany. You know, there's karate in Russia. This is the common bond between all our countries is martial arts. We can all do martial arts, and we're all connected to that Asian connection, you know, where it came from. So we all over the world, the millions of people that have studied the martial arts have that common bond together. So it's that one common denominator that everybody shares.
Interesting. Take us back now to the museum for those, when it opens 3 weeks from now, how exciting. Can you give me a virtual tour, since this is radio, not television, and tell us what someone would encounter when they get the pleasure to visit your center?
Sure, no problem. I'll try my best. The Martial Arts History Museum is an Asian cultural museum. It focuses on learning about history of the Asian community and the impact Asian arts have on America. So we look at tradition, we look at art, we look at culture, and that impact it has on America. For example, we look at the main countries. We're looking at the history of China, the history of Japan, the history of Korea, history of Thailand, and the history of the Philippines, and how the martial arts evolved from those countries and became part of their culture and their tradition, and how those traditions transcended and came here to America and became part of American history, mm-hmm. part of our films, part of our books, part of our animation. And the museum is a walk through that, and it gives you a concept and a look at how Chinese Kung Fu started and how it became part of the culture and how it came to America and how the Japanese karate started and the other art forms and how that evolved, how U.S. Grant was one of the first presidents to see martial arts when he went to Japan, and how President Theodore Roosevelt was one of the first judo players in America learning the art of judo. So we have a lot of connection, and the museum takes you through a timeline of history, showing you the different cultures and showing you how it played a unique role in Asian history, and now that Asian history plays a unique role on American history. So they'll look at the different countries, and then they'll look at films and animation and television, how it's part of, you know, Green Hornet and Billy yep. Jack and mm-hmm. Kung Fu Panda, and how that plays a role on American films and society.
Well, that certainly makes sense then for your relocating and having your new facility right there in the epicenter of the entertainment and film capital.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, we're right next to Warner Brothers, Alan Horn. Former CEO of Warner Brothers has helped us considerably. Nickelodeon has been wonderful, which is around the block. You know, all these studios that are right around us, and they've generously helped us with our time and finances as well. So we're really appreciative of that. And we're located literally right down the street.
That's wonderful. What are the hours of the museum going to be?
The museum is going to be 11 to 6. It's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then on Wednesday is for school groups to come by. We have a lot of schools that have come to the museum, and they're going to come to the new location when we open up as well.
Well, in the journey to create your museum, Michael, again, this was 1999, I think it said when you first founded it, and here you are now 12 years later. Different steps in that, you know, ratcheting up of exposure or shifting of content or addition of things. What has that change journey been for you as the founder and leader?
It's been a really hard journey. Mm-hmm. I really have to say that. And as I look back and read books and met with many of other museum presidents and founders, they went through a very similar journey as well. Not everybody's on board, so it's a little bit of a struggle to make sure you're going to do the museum. And then once you become a 501c3 and start the process, not everybody wants to come on board. So it's a bit of a struggle. And it was a long struggle for us. We had to make sure people knew this was going to happen. So we became a traveling exhibit, and we traveled all over the place with different artifacts that people generously donated to us. And being in the martial arts for over 40 years, I've gotten to know a lot of people, so we've had a lot of help in that area. But it has been a very long journey, and I'm hoping other people will help us as they continue to help us along the way as we go in our permanent location, and I hope to grow from here as well. But it has been a tough journey.
Well, you know, you really are a pioneer from the standpoint that your museum was the first one in the world to be established, dedicated. Have there been others that have subsequently come to the fore in these 12 years?
Well, you know, people have tried. There was one Bruce Lee museum that tried in Hollywood, and it lasted for a few months. And other people have made an attempt to try to do something. But once you get into it and find out, you know, how much it's going to take and
right.
the finances are going to take and everything involved, and the city becoming involved and the permits and all that, people usually give up. So it's a hard journey. It really is a hard journey, but I felt it was important enough that I see it through, and I'm thankful I have, and now we're coming into our new permanent location, which I'm very thrilled about.
Well, what's interesting, as I mentioned in the introduction, for your own personal journey, Mike, to be going from author, publishing, magazine, books, to then the whole video DVD production phase, I'm sure leveraging the internet for your website, YouTube videos, you name it, that this has been as much a manifestation of your own personal journey in the whole journalism to media side, right, as well as your passion for history.
Oh, definitely. It all connected together. You know, the whole thing was a whole process together. And we are the first martial arts history museum really in the world. I mean, other museums have a little, you know, separate area for samurai or a little bit for ninja, but there's nothing that encompasses the entire martial arts as this one are. So this one's the first one really in the world. And having a background in the media and different areas, I feel made it come together for the museum. Everything I've learned, everything has been applied to this, which I'm very thankful of.
Well, that's great. Michael, so tell us about your own practice these days then in the martial arts.
I've been doing the martial arts for about 45 years now. See, I'm admitting my age here. And I've been doing it since I was a little kid. Like most martial arts in the 60s, judo was really the only martial art out there. Everything else was very hidden or, you know, it wasn't brought in the open. It wasn't well known. So judo was, whoever started back in the 60s like me took judo first. And from there, I went to different arts, karate and so on, into finding an art I felt I felt more comfortable with. And that's what I say for other people who are interested in martial arts. You need to find what style of martial arts you feel your body is most comfortable with, and that way you can stay in that art much longer rather than randomly picking something.
And is it also an art that you can continue to grow with as age comes our way? You know, because some of those flexible things I could do when I was a teenager and a springboard diver, I dare not even attempt now at the, you know, over 29 that I know that I am right now. But is that the same for martial arts? Do you progress through or need to take a slightly different curve depending on the natural aging process?
Yeah, it depends on the person. You know, I mean, look at Jackie Chan. He's in his late 50s and he's still as vibrant as ever. It's up to the individual. You know, every art is up to the individual. Some people will progress toward a more Tai Chi art or to a more weapon style martial art, and others will go in their direction. Other arts, such as acrobatic style or wushu style, are very hard on the body and very demanding. So some arts like that would be almost impossible to carry on when the person gets older. So you're going to have to look at which art you feel your body's going to be more accustomed to or movements that you can do.
That makes sense. Well, I think it's striking just the subtle reflection on word choice, too, the fact that it's the martial arts as opposed to martial sports, right? And your connectedness to history, to community, to family being so very strong. And also, as you said, this cross-cultural, to go and study it from a Japanese base first, then a Chinese base. So do you see those arts evolving in different ways as the world, you know, as the world becomes smaller, shall we say?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, martial arts continues to evolve as it evolved from, you know, the early Shaolin Temple and the animal style of martial arts. It has evolved over the next 1,000 or more years to different styles of martial arts. And today you have mixed martial arts and other different things, and it continues to evolve and things people feel they need to add to it, which is fine. That's what the martial arts is supposed to do.
But
you still have to maintain your tradition as well and keep in mind where the arts came from, you know, not to make your own style up, but revere the styles where it came from.
That's exactly what that makes sense. That also ties back thus to your commitment of, you know, the creation of this museum that honors that connectivity of the Asian culture and all the way through to the American culture. One thing I didn't mention to any great extent when I introduced you, of course, is that your last name actually is Gonzalez Masuda, so you also have Hispanic lineage. And I have in front of me, you know, an indication of your being a direct descendant of one of the founding families of the city of Los Angeles and a whole variety of things that really tie back to the Hispanic community as well.
Yes, the history seems to follow me a lot. Michael Gonzalez Metsuda, the Gonzalez and my family has been here in the California for over 200 years. Coincidentally, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a printer, which I was for a long time myself. And these guys are historians. These guys were governors of California. And that kind of had me going as far as researching history even more.
Yeah.
So I was glad to follow the path of my great-great-grandfathers and find their burial places and find, you know, their lineage and their history, which helped me get more interested in the museum and trace the museum history and different arts history as well. So it all kind of connects there as well.
That's a wonderful explanation. Well, Michael Masuda, thank you very much for joining us here today on Circles of Change. And again, if you could give out your website address and museum location and hours for our listeners.
Sure. It's the Martial Arts History Museum. Our website is mamuseum.com. The address is 2319 West Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank, California, 91506. The number is 818-355-1109, and we are open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 6 o'clock.
And then special guests for children's groups on those other Wednesdays. Well, congratulations and good luck on the upcoming official opening, and we'll look forward to tracking your progress, Michael.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
You bet. It's a real pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.